Good morning, friends, and saw some visitors, a lot of visitors this morning. Welcome to Worcester Nazarene. My name is Jeremy Stachowski, and I'm one of the pastors here, and I work alongside with Pastor Aubrey and Pastor Sheldon with the youth. I also work with prayer ministries and care ministries, and Pastor Nathan is on vacation, so if you hate this morning, come back next week, and you'll be able to enjoy with Pastor Nathan. Man, the things you hear sometimes in the foyer, let me just tell you, it can be, can I just share? Can I be real for a second? Because I thought this was hysterical. So after first service, man, I love the sunshine out there. Can we say amen? I love the sunshine out there today. So left first service, and someone catches me in the foyer, and they say, "Good job, I stayed awake through the whole service." I didn't know that was the bar, but apparently, it gets better. It wasn't maybe 2 minutes after that one of my teens I love so much came into the church carrying a pillow. So I'm like, Lord, what is going on right now? But so glad to be here and so glad to continue sharing with you this amazing series that we've been in on Ruth, on the Great Surrender. And today we're going to really see this redemption of Ruth just come all to fruition as we get into it today. We're going to be in Ruth chapter 4, so you can turn your Bibles to Ruth chapter 4 today. And I like 4. 4 is one of my daughter's favorite numbers. I remember seeing you wear 4 on a lot of jerseys throughout the years as you were crossing over people. I had a favorite. Did you have a favorite number? How many had a favorite number in the house? Yes, I had a favorite number. Think of your favorite number. Mine was 3, and I don't know how old I was, probably 9, 8 years old, I don't know. Growing up in Pennsylvania, and a fan of the Pittsburgh Pirates, and Johnny Ray played second base, and he wore number 3, and I played second base in Little League, so number 3 had to be my favorite number. So what's your favorite number? Tell your neighbor what your favorite number is. What's your favorite? And does anybody have a favorite number that's not a single digit? It's always single digits, right? Can't be like, oh, it's not, all right. So I am corrected. Ruth chapter 4, before we get to Ruth chapter 4, man, it has been so good. If you've missed some of the series leading up to now, I invite you to find our YouTube page and get caught up. It has been so good. I've heard so many people say they've read Ruth over and over during the series, and they're getting more and more out of it. And it's really been a series of transformation, a love story, a series of redemption, a book of redemption, and a book of God weaving redemption in and using people. And we saw that in the first week as we saw Naomi being faithful to God. You know, we don't read a lot about her, but she was faithful to the point that we do know that Ruth recognized it. And it changed Ruth's life, and she said, "I want to serve your God." And then we saw Ruth being faithful and caring and loving and kind and working hard and having a hard work ethic and just finding her way in the field and just trying to make way and trying to serve her mother-in-law. And then we got to see Boaz and just see this man who was really respected in the community, a wealthy man, and see him find out, who is that lady out there that's been working in the field, that's just following behind, just gathering whatever she can? I need to meet her, and I need to find out about her. And he finds out that she is Naomi's daughter-in-law. And Naomi was married to Elimelech. And so now this is family relation. And so kind of becomes fond of this young lady. And then we see, as Pastor Andrew did so well last week, seeing that now he has come to say, "I want to be her kinsman redeemer, Hergoel. And I love the definition that Pastor Andrew shared last week. Hergoel was a near relative that was to ensure the economic well-being, to be a protector and a provider of a relative, and was especially instrumental when that person was incapable of getting him or herself out of a crisis. This person would come in, and this person would take that role in their life. And there were many different ways that that role could be taken, and one of them would be to take and marry this young lady and to give her that freedom, protection that she needed. And so he agrees to do that. And that's kind of where Pastor Andrew left us off last week is, man, we see this man of integrity, this man of character, this man who's being obedient to the Lord, who's respected in the community. And he says, I want to do this for you, but there's one problem. Do you remember? There's one problem. There's another relative that's closer than I would be second in line. And so he would be the closest relative and in line to be the kinsman redeemer. So that's where we pick it up here in Ruth chapter 4. So we're going to start in Ruth 4. We'll start with verse 1. And we're going to see now Boaz go into action to become this redeemer for Ruth. Verse 1, Boaz went to the town gate and took seat there. That's significant. Just then, the family redeemer he had mentioned came by. So Boaz called out to him, come over here and sit down, friend. I want to talk to you. So they sat down together. Then Boaz called 10 leaders from the town and asked them to sit as witnesses. Very smart, full of wisdom and significant. Verse 3, and Boaz said to the family redeemer, you know Naomi, who came back from Moab. She is selling the land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. I thought I should speak to you about it so that you can redeem it if you wish. If you want the land, then buy it here in the presence of these witnesses. But if you don't want it, let me know right away, because I am next in line to redeem it after you. Well, the man replied, all right, I'll redeem it. Then Boaz told him, of course, your purchase of the land from Naomi also requires that you marry Ruth, the Moabite widow. That way, she can have children who will carry on her husband's name and keep the land in the family. Well, then I can't redeem it, the family redeemer replied, because this might endanger my own estate. You redeem the land. I cannot do it. Such amazing passage of scripture. And so much wisdom by Boaz. I read somewhere in my studies leading up to this that not only did Boaz want to redeem Ruth, but he took action right away. And when he did this, he went looking for this family redeemer. He didn't sit by. He didn't wait for them to come up. It didn't wait for it to circulate throughout the town. Didn't send a telegram. Didn't send a messenger. He went himself right away, and he went to the city gate. Very significant. The city gate would be a very public place. It would be the place right before, if you wanted to do any transactions, if you wanted to sell, if you wanted to barter, if you wanted to trade, if you wanted to go into the city, if you wanted to come out of the city, all of the action happened at the city gate. As a matter of fact, you see that he called 10 of the leaders there. They were there. Leaders would be at the city gate. These officials would be at the city gate. Important transactions would be completed and finalized here at the city gate. So he goes there, and he goes there looking for this relative.
I didn't find another name for the relative, but he goes and he finds him. And he says, hey, would you come over here? We need to talk. I have something I need to tell you. And before he starts talking to him again, he called those officials, those 10. So much wisdom there. I'm going to get witnesses. You're going to be witnesses of all this that's going to go on and go down here today. Two reasons. One, there's so much corruption, so much things going on right now that I don't want confusion about this. This is too important to leave to happenstance or to leave to he said, she said. This needs to be official, and I need to have witnesses around me. Very wisdom. And then on top of that, this can be official. We can get this done right now. We don't have to wait. We don't have to go somewhere else. You're all here right now. We can make it official right now. So he does this, and he gets them all together. So now they're all together, and now he addresses the relative. So here's the situation. You know Naomi, and you know Elimelech, and you know the relative that she is to us now, and she's a widow. And now there's this land, and it's for sale, and you are first in line. And if you want to buy it, it's yours. You can buy it. Cool. Sign me up. I want to buy it. I want to increase my estate. This is good. And then he does the Columbo thing. Has anybody ever seen the show Columbo? I'm showing my age. Pastor, I'm showing my age here. Young people, does anyone not know what Columbo is at all? Oh my goodness. Oh, parents, take all these kids home and show them. So Columbo is this detective, and he already knows the outcome. He already knows the person's guilty, and he just goes and he hangs out with them and hangs out with them and hangs out with them until they cannot stand it anymore. But he has this famous thing that he does almost in every show. It's like he talks to them and they talk back, and then he kind of leaves, and they're like, phew, man, so glad he's out of here. And he always stops and always turns. He's like, one more thing. And then they're about to go punch him in the face. And then they blow up at whatever the one more thing is because they're just done. I don't know why he did it this way, but he gives them one piece of information, the land. And then he says, there's one more thing. With this kinsman redeemer, with this Goel, with this redemption, also comes the widow of Ruth, the Moabite, the foreigner widow Ruth, that you also will take and you will marry so that she can have kids and so that her legacy can go on and that her generations can go on and they can have this land. Well, now the guy's like, he's counting the cost. And now the cost has just become too big. The land, that was cool. But now this widow and becoming her husband and giving her children and her children having this estate, this is too much. Matter of fact, I think it says it this way. I can't redeem it because this might endanger my own estate. He's counting the cost. In every redemption, there's a cost. And what was that cost? I don't know if I am fully aware. It says endanger. Some versions say impair. I think someone shared with me in the foyer after here that their version said dilute my own estate. Likely maybe meant that if he redeemed the land and married Ruth, any children they had would also share in everything and potentially dilute the inheritance of his existing family. At any rate, whatever it was too big a cost. But Boaz already knew that he wanted that cost. Boaz was like, I'll gladly take that cost. I love this young lady, and I want to provide, and I want to protect, and I want to give to her a new name and a redemption. You know, God says, I've counted the cost. I've counted your cost. I know what it is. And I've counted the cost to redeem mankind, but that sounds so general. So let me make it personal. I've counted the cost to redeem you. I've counted the cost to redeem you and you and you. And Pastor Jeremy, you don't know my stuff. I don't, but he does. He's not ignorant. He knows it all. And he still said, I've counted that cost, and you are worth it. And I'm going to pay that cost. I'm going to send my only son, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for me. He paid a price I could never pay. Praise be to God. Well, I love how Boaz takes action. He's like, I'm willing to count this cost. I'm willing to pay this price. As a matter of fact, I'm more than willing. I want to. It's out of love I will do it. For God so loved the world. And so he goes and he initiates the transaction. He wants it to be official. He wants it to be done. He doesn't want to waste time. And so now he's already got the witnesses. It's already in public. And I think that's the second thing I was thinking about with this. Every redemption has a cost. But this redemption was public. And Jesus' redemption for you and I was public, was it not? He went public for me and for you. So let's see how he does this in verse 7 through 10. Back to the word of God. Now in those days, it was the custom in Israel for anyone transferring a right of purchase to remove his sandal and hand it to the other party. This publicly validated the transaction. Wow. That's amazing. I'm jealous. We just recently lost a vehicle in our home. Yes, it went crash, boom. It got totaled. So I had the pleasure that some of you have had of going and shopping for a new vehicle. Lord, thank you so much for that opportunity to test my salvation. And I come from an Italian family, so we don't buy anything without bartering. They don't haggle anymore. It's just ridiculous. But anyway, we found one. We found one at a dealership that we loved, and we went to purchase it. After saying that we want this vehicle, until getting out of that dealership, probably was another hour of writing and signing and do you want this and do you want this extra warranty and this extra thing and signing and reading. And I'm like, I'm just done. Like, I don't know. I'm praying God protects me because I didn't read half of those papers. I just signed them. I don't know. Lydia, I hope you read them. I didn't read them. I don't know. I think next time I'm just going to take my Birkenstocks with me. I'm going to go up and I'm going to say, yes, that's the vehicle we want. Here, it's done. Official. I don't know if Donnie Troxel's in the room. Will that work? I didn't see him first service. Maybe he can let me know if that'll work. Anyway, how did I get on this rabbit trail? I just think that's awesome. Okay, where were we? Verse 7 through 10. We're on verse 8 here. So the other family redeemer drew off his sandal And he said to Boaz, you buy the land. Now remember, this is all being done in public with leaders and elders and officials all around. Then Boaz said to the Then Boaz said to the elders and the crowd standing around, you are witnesses that today I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. And with the land I have acquired Ruth, the Moabite widow of Mahlon, to be my wife. This way she can have a son to carry on the family name of her dead husband and to inherit the family property here in this hometown. You are all witnesses today. Man, Boaz, in his wisdom, in public, says, I'm gonna make this purchase. And it's finalized. And in public, get this, in his land, in public in his land where he is well known and respected, says to a foreigner, Moabite woman, who in their land is full of pagan and worshiping false gods, that I choose you and I redeem you and you will be my wife and we will have a family together. Wow, that's huge. In public, he redeems her. Redemption is always public and personal. You know, he went public. For her, it's probably all internal, personal. But for him, it's all public. And that's one of my favorite parts of baptism, when we have Baptism Sunday, of seeing people who have chosen, your God will be my God. I choose Jesus. I'm saying yes to Jesus. I want to follow you, Jesus. I don't want to follow my own way anymore. I've been following my own way long enough. I'm done. I choose you. And not only do I choose you, but I now stand publicly in front of this church and in front of these witnesses and get all wet and nasty because I'm not ashamed of you. Because you're the best thing I've ever found. Because your love is overwhelming me. Because I'm not ashamed to be identified with you. I just want to challenge us, church. Let's not just keep that public profession inside these walls. That's a great start. That's a great start. If you come to say yes to Jesus today, tell somebody. Tell somebody close. Tell a pastor. Tell a friend. But don't stop there. Get baptized and let the whole church know, but don't stop there. Church, can we tell a world that's watching, I'm identified with Jesus and I am proud of it. He is my God. I want to do that. I want to be bold with my witness for Christ. Lord, help me everywhere I walk and everywhere I go to be bold in my witness and my walk with you, Jesus. So Boaz does this. I love it. And the great surrender of Ruth is now, man, the redemption. It's just official and it's final. And watch what happens in Ruth's life. Verse 11 and 12, this is amazing. Then the elders and all the people standing in the gate replied, we are witnesses. May the Lord make this woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, from whom all the nations of Israel are descended. May you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. And may the Lord give you descendants by this young woman who will be like those of our ancestor Perez, the son of Tamar, and Judah. Now, in the middle of all these witnesses, in this community, this foreigner, this Moabite woman who didn't know God at all before she met Naomi, at least I don't, it doesn't seem like it. Because she didn't, because when she met Naomi, she said, I'll follow you and I will follow your God. So she didn't. And now this foreigner and this widow and this poor widow who's following, oh, Boaz's workers just to pick up whatever she can, to supply whatever she can, now is being blessed by the whole community in the city gate. They're all blessing her. They're calling her and blessing her like Rachel and Leah, who were, you know, all the descendants of Israel have come from. They're blessing her like Judah. They're blessing her and saying, your name is blessed. She's totally redeemed. She's totally adopted. She's totally accepted into this family because now she's forever linked with Boaz, this respected man, and this kinsman redeemer. Wow. She has an inheritance. And I think everything that we've been adopted into by God through Jesus Christ, it's amazing. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I once had nothing but sin, and now I'm redeemed and forgiven. And like we like to say around here, being transformed day by day by day. Instead of being seen as just selfish Jeremy, now I'm forever linked with Jesus, my Redeemer, and I walk with him. And his Holy Spirit fills me and walks with me. The Redeemer walks with me in life and identifies with me and has bought me. Forever changed because of Jesus. Ruth was forever, her life was forever changed because of Boaz. Never, ever to be the same again. She received favor from being linked with him. And now her life is forever changed. God's redemption plan and his power is working and continues to work and is unfolding through the obedience and faithfulness of his people. Did you know that God is still in the business of redeeming today? He's still redeeming today. I love the scripture that says, it is not that I have forgotten or that I am slow about my promise, but I am being patient because I don't want anyone to die and to not know me. He wants all to come to repentance. And so he's not being slow. He's redeeming. Right now, oh God, I pray in all these hallways and all these rooms with all these children, God, that they would encounter your love today. Right now, I think we have already loved. Is that how it's, what's it called? Embrace grace. Embrace grace is meaning. God, may ladies find that they're loved by you, that they're embraced by grace today, that you are redeeming some right now. And I just love the young people in the church that are continuing to grow and grow in their faith Sunday nights at 6 o'clock, and it continues to grow, and they're inviting friends, and they're as hungry as I've ever seen them. And God's redeeming today. And all of those things and everything that you're involved in where you're seeing redemption and you're playing a part in God's redemption plan is because he chooses to use all those teachers that are in all those rooms. He chooses to use all the teachers that are in all those rooms. He chooses to use people like you and me to bring redemption to other people, to let them know that there's a God who loves them, a God who cares, and his name is Jesus. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus, for it brings salvation to anyone who comes and believes in him. There's no other name but Jesus. And you know why there's no other name? Because redemption cost a price. And it was a big price. And my price was a big price. And our price was a big price. And there was only one that could settle the score and make it official and pay that price. And it was Jesus. And he did it publicly. He said, I see you, and I see you, and I see you, and I love you. And I'm going to get scorned publicly. I'm going to get made fun of publicly. I'm going to get beaten publicly. I'm going to carry this cross. I think we forget sometimes what he really did. I was so overwhelmed. It was this Thursday at Pray Now Thursday. I was so overwhelmed with God's love for me. I had to go to the communion table to take communion, to just be just like, Jesus, I want to remember what you did. I don't want to forget. I don't want to live so long that I become callous to when I first met you and remembered, man, this is the greatest thing in life. I remember having all this guilt and all this shame and knowing all the bad things and all the stuff in my life and thinking I was trapped and I couldn't escape. And then I heard that there was a God who could forgive me of all that. A God that wanted to forgive me of all that. And a God that loved me so much that he would take all that and give me a whole new life. That whoever comes to Jesus, the old is past and the new has become. And I was like, I want that brand new life. I didn't even know then that when I said that and I said that yes to Jesus, that like he was going to come in, that the Holy Spirit was going to lead and guide me, that there was going to be decisions to be made and he was going to be right there, that there was going to be prayers that were cried out and he was going to be right there. There was going to be valleys that stunk and he was going to be right there. But from that time till today, all the ups and downs, my life is linked with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's my Redeemer. My Redeemer lives. And your Redeemer lives. Have you received him? Have you accepted him? So I just want to encourage you, church, to continue loving people. When you're loving people, you're partnering with God to bring his redemption. When you're being kind, you're partnering with God to bring his redemption. Every time you're obedient and people see it, you're partnering with God to bring his redemption. Every time you rejoice over something God has done and you say, look what God has done, you're partnering with his redemption for somebody else. Every time you pray over somebody and you say, I trust in the Lord, let's go to the Lord. You pray with your spouse and you pray with your kids. You're being part of God's redemption story in their lives and in generations to come. Keep it up. Keep it up. I'm going to ask you to stand. If you would. And I just want to encourage you again to continue to live boldly and publicly for Jesus. But also, the very first part of obedience would be to receive the Redeemer who gave his life for you, to say yes to Jesus and to say no to sin, to give him your life. Friend, we cannot save ourselves. I love one commentary I was reading and watching this. Ruth didn't have anything to bring to her redemption except for her need for redemption. Boaz brought the right, the wisdom, the ability, the desire, the love, counted the cost, and ultimately provided redemption for her. You and I, we can't stack up enough good things. We cannot earn God's love and salvation. It was already paid. Jesus paid it. I have nothing to bring to my redemption story but the fact that, God, I need you. I need you more than yesterday. I need you. But Jesus brought the right, the ability, the desire, the love, counted the cost, went to the cross, and publicly paid for our redemption. Would you say yes? Would you receive him today? Even as they play this song, I invite you to say yes, to respond, maybe publicly, maybe come here and publicly say, Jesus, I give you everything. Lord, we give you everything. We give you our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name.